Well, in the first service, one of the young kids gave me a thumbs up when I was up here, so I'm disappointed that none of you did it. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wanted to make you aware of something. I know Natalie did some announcing, but also next week, if y'all remember back in the fall, we took a survey that many of you took, almost 1,000 people in our congregation took it, about just things that are happening at River Tree. And we want to next week, next Sunday night, the elders will be at the church to kind of go through what those results of that survey are and kind of what they mean for the future of River Tree Church as we continue to think about how we, you know, you don't have to sit so close to people you don't know all the time. So as we think about that, we'd love for you to come and be a part of that meeting. And there's more information about that in the guide as well. But for preaching today, well, I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Jay. I'm the campus pastor here at Cove, if it's your first time here. And we have been in the Psalms, particularly in the Psalms of Ascent, which we're going to continue in that today. And we'll be in Psalm 125. And it has just been an absolute joy to walk through these. We've been in them since right after the new year. And so I want to start by just reading Psalm 125, and then I'm going to pray for us. So let's read together. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. It remains forever. The mountains surround Jerusalem, and the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous will not apply their hands to injustice. Do what is good, Lord, to the good, to those whose hearts are upright. But as for those who turn aside to crooked ways, the Lord will banish them with the evildoers. Peace be with Israel. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your good word. We thank you for the Psalms of Ascent, Lord, that we, even today, thousands of years later, get to benefit from songs sung ages ago. Lord, I just pray that it speaks deeply to us as we see this imagery that you have given us about yourself and how it applies to our lives today. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So as I said, we're going to continue, obviously, in Psalm 125. And I want to, as we kind of, for your note-taking, we're going to start with a main idea today that we hope to kind of see play out in the scriptures. And that is this, that eternal peace is found in eternal security. That eternal peace is found in eternal security. And we're going to look at that in a few different ways. First, in verses 1 and 2, we'll see how the Lord protects his people. Then in verse 3, we'll see the Lord delivers us from evil. And 4 and 5, we're going to ask the question, do we trust the Lord's goodness? And lastly, we will look at the eternal peace that's found in Jesus Christ. So last week, Ross gave a little story about his time in Nepal. And some of you may know this, that have been here for a while, but I was a missionary in Nepal. I lived there for 2 years. And when I first came here to River Tree, I was the missions pastor and have since moved into this role. But it gave me this incredible opportunity in Nepal to get to hike in the mountains of Nepal. And I got to do this very often. It was gorgeous, beautiful, just beyond what you can imagine. And we would get there. And so we would fly a plane into the mountains and then we would start. We'd be about 10,000 feet and we would start our kind of ascent up into the mountains. And it was, as you can imagine, beautiful. Right? I mean, we're talking, you're up there, you're kind of climbing up, up, up. And as you get up, these paths that you're on, they get more narrow and narrow, smaller and smaller. And you look around you. And so you're at 10, 15,000 feet. And still above you, there's mountains that are going 20 to 15,000 foot higher than what you already are. It's an incredible thing. They're capped in snow. They're beautiful. They're majestic. It's beauty beyond compare. And when you're there, you begin to feel this sense of protection. As you're in these mountains, you realize that there's really nothing that's going to happen to you. If there's stuff going on the other side of those mountains, you know nothing of it. You're not experiencing it. You're not threatened by it. You're not worried about it. You're just protected from it. But it wasn't just that the physical barrier that was there. When we were up there at the time, cell phones wouldn't work. There was no internet to go to. Smartphones were useless. So you weren't just protected in this physical sense. You were protected kind of emotionally or spiritually as well. An entire new war could have started in my month in the mountains, and I would have never known about it. It's this sense of just relief, of peace that you get to experience when you're up in these mountains. And then as you would hike, you would even notice these kind of homes up on the kind of these mountainsides. And when I say home, it's a 10 by 10 room. And in that 10 by 10 room, somebody is living there. And as I would hike, I always had the thought, I bet that guy has never worried about locking his doors. Not one time has he thought, you know what? Today somebody's gonna climb this mountain and take something from my house. The mountain protects him. It keeps things away from him. And that's the picture that the Lord wants to show us in this passage. It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. So Mount Zion is an actual place still today in Jerusalem. It's a mountain there. It's about 2,500 feet high. And as you walked into Jerusalem, you would look up and that's what you would see. People's eyes were drawn to it. They wanted to go there. That's where the people would gather. It's where things would happen. It was beautiful. And so much so that even today, churches, one in this town is called Mount Zion Baptist Church, named after this mountain that held this spiritual and just kind of cultural significance to the people of Israel. And we even think about this idea of like a hill, like we talk about churches being a city on a hill. That's what we want this church to be. We want people in Hampton Cove, in Owens Crossroads, and in Huntsville, when they hear about River Tree, they think, man, that place is where you go to find the gospel. That's where the light shines from. That's where good things happen. That's where community is found. We want to be a city on a hill. And he uses mountains here, and as he goes on, he talks about the mountains surround Jerusalem. They also had built a wall around Jerusalem. But he's not saying it's the wall that surrounds people. He's not even saying it's a hill, right? I know here in Huntsville, we love Monte Sano, right? And we love to call it a mountain, but deep in our hearts, we know. We all know, right? It's not a mountain. We want it to be, but when you say you live on Green Mountain, we all know you live on a hill. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But he chose this imagery on purpose. He chose mountains because of their significance, how big they are, and he also chose them because who they're made by. It's not our own things that we do. It's not the walls that we build or the moats that we build. It's the mountain that the Lord builds that protects us. In Psalm 91:4, it says he covers us with his wings. It is he who protects us. We don't even have to think about it. We don't think about it at all. He provides the security for us. And you may ask that question of like, is this really true? Because you've gone through it. You've gone through hard times, through difficult things. And you're saying, Jay, you said the Lord would protect me from this, but I'm not sure that's what's happening in my life. So how do we reconcile those things? Well, this passage is gonna help us to continue to understand what happens as we look at how the Lord delivers us from evil. It says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain. Think about a scepter, right? So you're holding, it's like this big stick, okay? Now think about watching a movie, right? There's a guy who's got a sword and a guy who's got a stick. And let's just say you had to choose which one of those you were gonna die by. I think the answer's pretty easy. Right, because when the beating starts, we begin to say, Lord, have mercy on that person. The scepter, the stick, evokes this just kind of thing that they're holding out, saying, do something. I rule you. I hold this out over you. I make you suffer. And we feel that, and we experience that. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the scepter? Well, one, Psalms 110 tells us he will make his enemies a footstool. Like Christ has come to win that battle. That's what he did. This idea of the footstool gets picked up again in Acts 2, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 10, 1 Corinthians 15. It's a big deal. That's what he's holding out to us. Christ is saying, like, I have come to guarantee victory. Now, I can be guilty of this. Sometimes I say to people, I'm like, hey, just so you know, like, I know it's hard now, but in eternity, there's something better for you. There's goodness out there. And this is true. It's 100% true. No matter what you're going through today, there is an eternity with Jesus Christ that awaits you. But sometimes that answer, it's not fun. It's not the good answer. It's not the answer you want. And what I think this passage is trying to help us understand is that actually he is removing that. It says, over the land allotted to the righteous. He's saying, I'll remove this now. I'm taking it from you now. So why are we going through then? Because we've all been tempted. When the scepter is on us, when it's our boss, our coach, our leadership, and they push down us, and they push us down. And we think, if I was just in charge, if I was in control, man, if they would just let me run things, how much better it would be if I was the one in charge. You know what? If I ever get in charge, I'm going to get that person. I'm going to show them. You see, we become tempted and we begin to think that we can create our own protection, that we can build our own walls around us. We're like, Lord, I want the security. I want to create it for myself. And he's saying, no, 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 you don't create it for yourself. I create it for you. I build the mountain around you. Trust in me. So how do we trust in him? How do we know that he has this? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 5. It says, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You ever, just this is not the passage we're preaching today, but just that this idea that the devil took Jesus up and was like, I'm showing you everything, as if Christ could not already see everything. And said to him, I will give you all authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So when we're in these trials and we begin to struggle, we should look to Christ and his example. So in this moment, this is early in Christ's ministry. Christ knows what he's going to go through. He knows the suffering that will come. He knows the hurt and the pain that's coming his way. He knows the cup of God's wrath that he and he alone will have to drink, all to get what Satan offers him right here. He could have just stopped. So you know what, Satan? That does sound a whole lot easier than what I'm going to have to go through. I mean, it's kind of my goal. But he denies that. He resists that temptation. He had a chance to not go to the cross, to not endure the scepter, but yet he did. He bore this temptation. He refused the scepter so we also could. He did it so we could speak softly and not always have to carry a big stick. That's what he came to do. And that's what he did. And so the question becomes, do we trust the Lord's goodness? Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone. His compassion rest on all he has made. Asking the Lord to be good is like asking the sun to shine. It's simply what it does. It's like asking the Himalaya mountains to be majestic. It's like, be majestic. It's like, no, it is. It just is. No one stands on the edge of the Grand Canyon and goes, it was okay. The Lord is good simply because he is good. That's all he is, that's all he's ever been, and that's all he will ever be. And what makes him good? Well, one, he makes us good. He says, do what is good, Lord, to the good, to those whose hearts are upright. It's he that makes hearts upright. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. You see, so often we get caught up in thinking, I'm gonna do good actions and I'll have a good heart. So let's do some good things, do those, good heart. And we even judge other people. We say, well, they did good actions, so they must have a good heart. They have to. But that's not the picture that's being held up here. What he's saying is like, no, you will have a good heart. And because you have a good heart, you will do good actions. It will never be the other way around. In fact, if you attempt to do good actions without a good heart, it will lead you to pride. That's where that road leads. Good heart equals good actions. Every single time. So if you have a good heart, you call on the Lord to be good to you. Not because you're questioning whether he will. Because it reminds you of who he is and what he has done for you. Now I want to go back because he does punish evil. So let's go back and look at verse 3 again. It says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous will not apply their hands to injustice. So when you're in these like situations where you're the one kind of being ruled over or being beat down, it feels like, what am I supposed to do, Lord? How do I endure this? Well, I want you to hear, if you are a believer, you will endure. Like, you will make it through this. And that's what 1 John chapter 2 teaches, is they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. I know it feels difficult to say, but sometimes the scepter is a good thing in your life. It has come into your life to help you understand whether you do or do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you find yourself under it and all you can think about is how I get out of it, all you can think about is if I was just in control, he's saying to you what you ought to be thinking is, Lord, how are you using this in my life to make you more like you? That's the question. The scepter is a grace in your life because there's one question that matters in your life, and that's where you will spend eternity. And the scepter comes to help you understand if you'll spend it in heaven or you'll spend it in hell. It is a grace in your life that it has come. Now, this idea of like peace here at the end, I was reading Eugene Peterson. He wrote a just really good commentary on this. And he talks about in it this story of like when you're walking on a railroad track, him and his buddies on the way to school would walk on this railroad track. And so they would walk along it and they would try to like knock them off of it, each other. And so this reminded me of my time in Nepal as we would hike these mountains. As you go higher and higher up, the paths, like I said, they get narrower and narrower and narrower. It's like you're trying to get to this end thing, this goal that you've got in mind. And as you go, the path gets steeper. The drop gets further. The rain comes. The snow comes. And in our Christian walk, we're just trying to make it through it. if I can just make it to this path, if I can keep going, if I can just go, and I can do it myself, I can make it. And all these things are happening around you, and you're just like, they're just distractions. I got to keep going. And the question is, will you make it? The answer, of course, is no. What happens in your Christian walk is nothing like that. If you're lost, you're walking this path aimlessly, going nowhere. And when you become a believer, Christ has come down. He has scooped you up. He's grabbed you in his arms. He has taken you into his home. He has placed you there, and around you, he has built his mountains. He has come to protect you. He has come to give you peace. That's what he's come to do. So if you're a believer today, rest assuredly knowing that your eternity has been secured because Christ has built his mountains around you. That's what he's done. Believe it and know it to be true. Now, if you're not, if you're sitting here today and like, man, Jay, I don't know. I don't know if I have that security. I want to just tell you a story about my time in Nepal. I'd been there, like I said, I was going to be there 2 years. In my first month, I got this incredible opportunity to go up into the mountains. And we were going to go do, like, share the gospel, and then we were going to head to Everest Base Camp. And I was so excited. I'd never really done any hiking, but I was like, this is going to be great and easy. So we get on this plane, and we fly up into the mountains, and I get my pack, and it's heavy, and I'm like, I got this. I'm an athlete, no big deal. And we get off, and there's a group of us, and one of the guys who'd been there a while, he's like, Jay, do you want a porter, somebody to carry your bag for you? I was like, yeah, right. You think I need that? I've got this. So I strap my backpack on, and we begin to walk. And you kind of start from this place, this airport, you kind of walk down side of this mountain, and then you go along this riverbed. And so we get down there, and I'm day one. I'm just hiking along. I'm like, they kept saying this was hard, but I've got this. I can do this on my own. And I walk along, feeling real confident. We make it that night to the lodge we're going to be staying in. And so we get in there, you know, sleep that night. We wake up the next morning. And now I've been told that day two is a little bit harder. Well, day one was so easy. I thought, I got this. So I strap my pack on and we start walking. Well, as you go further into the mountain, the river starts to get a little steeper. So I'm starting to feel it a little bit, but I'm okay. Again, I've got it, right? I didn't need anybody to help me. And then all of a sudden I notice the riverbanks just start getting steeper and steeper. Like, can we keep walking on the side of this river? And then I see this bridge up ahead, like a, you know, swinging metal bridge. And we get to it, and we're going to climb up to it, and we're going to walk across. So we do that. We walk across. I'll be honest. Hiking up to that bridge wasn't easy. And you get to the other side, and you hike right back down. I'm like, why did we hike down? And we're standing there, and we're looking up. And I'm like, where are we going? My partner's like, we're going up. 2,700 feet of switchbacks and stairs. We're about to climb. I'm like, okay. I think I still got it. So I got my pack on. We start hiking. And I'm doing okay in the beginning. And we're going along, and we're going along. We're an hour in, 2 hours in, 3 hours in. I finally catch up to my team who's all like left me. And I'm like, are we there? They're like, no, Jay, we're like halfway. And at that point, I began to realize this, I may not make it. But I'm too prideful to stop, too prideful to ask for help, so I keep walking. I walk. And now I'm going so slow that donkeys are passing me, yaks are passing me, and this is not a lie, a man carrying an oven passed me, just up the side of this mountain. It's starting to rain, and I'm just feeling miserable. You know, like that moment where the embarrassment and shame starts to set in, but I keep going. And then finally, I remember it so vividly, I round this corner of the mountain. And when I do, I see this little bitty village. And I'm like, dear Lord, I did it. And I hike up to this village, and there's a little shop there. I take my pack off. I'm exhausted. I'm wet. and buy this Coke. It was completely lukewarm, room temperature, and it's by far the best Coke I've had to this day. And I sit there, and I ask the lady, I'm like, hey, is this Namchi? She's like, oh, no, sir. It's 100 more meters up. And I think, well, this is where I stay. And I make a lot of jokes, but truly, I sat there on that woman's little stoop, and I cried because I knew I had nothing left to give. There was no hope that I, on my own strength, was going to make it to where I needed to go. And I'm sitting there wondering what I'm going to do. Because I know I can't make it carrying that pack. It's impossible. I've given everything that I've got, and I came up short. All of a sudden, around the corner of the little thing comes this little Nepali man, and he was the porters for one of the ladies in our group. He had a backpack already, like a camping pack already of hers that was about 70 pounds. He had another camping bag full of books, just books. And he looks at me. He doesn't really speak the language, but he kind of points. There's some bags sitting there, and he's like pointing, and I say, that's mine. And he takes my pack, and he throws it up on top of his. He says, follow me. And he walks me home. We walk that last 100 meters up to the lodge that we were going to stay in. They open the door. My friends are waiting on me. It's warm. It's toasty. There's a glass of tea waiting. It was perfect. You see, there was a time on that trip I was too prideful and too arrogant to let anyone else help me. And so often in our Christian walk and in our non-Christian walk, for those of you that don't believe, you think you can make it on your own. But you can't. Christ Jesus is ready and waiting to come to grab you up, to carry you to his home, and build his mountains around you so that you can have the peace of knowing that eternally you are held in the arms of the one who made the entire universe. So believe upon that Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, you have been a good and gracious and kind God to us. Lord, we so often seek our own protection. We begin to think that we can protect ourselves, that we can save ourselves, that we can do for ourselves what we cannot. Lord, help us to understand and know fully beyond the shadow of doubt that you have us. Lord, that you have come into our lives and you have built your mountains around us. You have surrounded us. And in that moment, Lord, we have the security of knowing we will be with you forever. Father, you are a good and kind and gracious God. Help us to trust you more fully and love you more deeply. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.